still on the love of Christ. This is part 7, and with more parts to come. I've subtitled it The Greatest Gift, and I said, let me say this as I, let me read the scripture so I can set the text. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so let me say this. God, and I've said this before, God gives people for relationships.
Yes, he does.
While we tend to give things. Okay? Let me say it again. God gives people and relationships while we tend to give things. Think about a birthday. When you think about birthday, the ones that people ask you, well, what did you get for your birthday? And they're referring to a thing. Okay? Well, but when God gives you something, he's not interested in a thing, because everything's going to burn. But what he gives is a relationship. He gives people. He gives us one to another. He gave Jesus, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give a car, he didn't give a house, he didn't give a Powerball ticket. Come on. He gives people, right? Proverbs 19:14 says, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Amen. You may get a house, you may get a car, or you might get some type of inheritance from your father, your grandfather, aunt, or uncle, but a relationship, a true God relationship, is going to come from the Lord. Come on. And so, now listen, I'm not belittling the giving of gifts, because I just got a nice gift from someone, because my birthday was a couple weeks ago, and so I'm not belittling the gift, right? But the gift came from the heart of the giver. Such that the gift is there actually to magnify the heart of the giver. That's why you never love the gift more than the giver. Because the gift is simply serves to magnify the heart and the love of the one who gave it. Right? And so I'm not belittling the gift, but I want us to see that it is the person, it is relationship, it is people that God gives us one to another. If Ephesians 4:11 comes to mind, the Bible says that when Christ was raised from the dead, he gave unto the church gifts of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave gifts, right? And so I always like to say during Christmas time that presence is greater than presents.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Presence is greater than presence. Right. And I remember it was Melody's grandfather who her uncle would tell me on his birthday, he would be upstairs and all of his children would be downstairs, and he would mosey downstairs and he'd look around and see his 7 children, and he'd be satisfied. But then he'd turn around going back upstairs. He just wanted the presence of his children. He just wanted them around him. It wasn't about the things that he would get. It was about his children getting his presence, right? And so I just want to emphasize again how much you mean and how much I mean, how much we mean to one another, such that God would give us to one another, and we see it chiefly in the fact that God gave us his son. Now when God gives you something, how many of you know that you need what he gives you?
Yeah, amen.
So when he sent Christ, when he gave his only begotten son, it was because we needed him. Right? And what Christ did for us, no one else could do for us. Well, in a much lesser sense, but we're still of the body of Christ, we need one another.
Amen.
We need each other. That's why Paul said, the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. No, as we're all joined together by ligaments and marrow, we are members one of another. So, the other day, which was last Wednesday, I was sitting at home, or I was at work, and I got a call from Sister Loretta. And Loretta says, Pastor, and that was Wednesday. She says, I'm moving on Friday. And Daniel, I wonder if you would be able to help. Daniel's going to be there. We're going to move. And she wasn't asking for anything that I had. She wasn't asking for a hand truck or a large truck. She wasn't asking for anything. She was asking for presents. She was asking for me. How many of you know that it requires more of you to give yourself than it is to give something that you have?
Right.
And so presence is greater than presence, right? And so since I've known Loretta for a long time and I love the sister and her family, and I'm committed in relationship to them, I simply, because I had my weekend all scheduled, planned out, and I'm going to do this on this time, this date, blah, 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 blah. And I took some things off, put them away, but then the Holy Ghost had already gone ahead and canceled some jobs on Friday, because I was full. But I know how my life is. I know when stuff starts canceling, I'm watching. I said, that's the Holy Ghost, and that's the Holy Ghost. I said, Father, I don't know what's about to happen, but I got my eyes open, because I've been at this 30 years. And I've seen God, I've seen things canceled, and I said, oh, Lord, something's fixing to happen here. And so later that day, I got the call from Loretta. I said, and it was like, here it is. I said, okay, here it is. And so I said to myself, well, let me put that away, and we'll go ahead and help my sister out. So in the same way, you know, when it comes to relationships, like I said, it's easier to give a thing than to give yourself. But in relationships, that's how it is. It's going to cost you to give of yourself more than it will cost you to give something that you want, simply a thing that you have. And so, likewise, we see in the scripture, Romans 8:32, it said he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He not only gave Jesus, he didn't just come and live. He could have lived a long life and died just like anyone else, but no, he died a death for our sins and not his own. It cost him. It cost him. Why? Because he gave of himself. He didn't just give something that was his, but he gave fully of himself so that we might be made right with God. And so Jesus died in order for us to be put in right relationship with God. And so, since I determined that I was going to go ahead and switch my schedule around, do some things, and the Lord had already made the way, I said, let me text my brother, let me contact my brother Carl. And I said, hey Carl, I'm helping Loretta move on Friday. How about you? He said, I'm in. Just like that. He said, I'm in. And I was like, hey, here we go. And so Friday we showed up with Daniel and Sister Esther was there. To my surprise. You got to see Sister Esther. Amen. And she's helping grab this big old thing. I said, let me hear what you're doing. Grab the thing. Come on. Hey, no. That's what we here for. Amen. And we let her do a little bit, but we let her do too much. Amen. And so many hands make light work. And before you know it, we had the truck packed up, went to Herndon, unpacked it, and had a great time. But I'm sure Carl said no to some things that he had planned, but that's the nature of relationship. That's why God gives us to one another. See? And wherever you have relationship, you will have sacrifice. Huh? Let me say it again. Wherever you have true, genuine relationship, you will have sacrifice by definition. Why? Because someone you're related to, your relationship with, will always need something from you that's different from what you're engaged in. And in order to be in relationship with them, you're going to have to deny yourself. And so we needed salvation. And in order for us to have relationship with God, Christ denied himself. for the joy that was set before him, he denied himself and embraced the cross that we might be saved. So, Carl said, he was in a second, he said, yeah, I'll be there. Why was it so fast? Because he's committed in relationship. He's committed in relationship. And I could say that for everyone. As soon as I asked Doug, Doug, can you lead worship for me? Like he said, be happy to you, brother. Let me do. I'll come with the song. And I asked Pastor Moses. I said, Moses, could you pray? He says, yeah, for the ends of the season, out of season. That's always more than said. He's always ready. When I come to anyone, I said, can you, in an instant, Bill and Sherry drove, I don't know how long, from Wisconsin, a couple, 3 weeks ago, got back that Sunday, and Bill's standing here Sunday afternoon doing the thing. I'm looking at him like, what are you doing, brother? But he's standing right here. Why? Because he's in committed relationship. We're committed to one another in relationship, you see. Now, I'm getting to these all things because but let me stop. Let me wait for that. Because I'm gonna preach the end before I get to it. So God gives people. He gives relationships. All throughout the Old Testament. Let me run through some scriptures like I've done before. Genesis 4:1. Now Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. I have acquired a man from the Lord. What did the Lord give them? Did he give them? Well, we know he created all things and gave it to them to reign over it, but he gave them a son. And they recognized that their son came from God. He gave them a relationship. Genesis 17:16, God speaking to Abraham says, I will bless your wife Sarah and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. And so God gave Abraham and Sarah a son named Isaac, which means laughter, so that he could establish his word to Abraham. And so we find that the people God gives you will bring you laughter. Yeah. Hello. When God brings people into your life, they will cause you to laugh. We experienced this immensely yesterday or a couple days ago while we were moving LaGrette. Carl, Daniel, and I were out there, but oh my goodness, we were out there at the farm and just laughing in the joy of Jesus, sharing stories and just talking about this, that, and the other. And so it was a beautiful time. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, remember Hannah wanted a child. She wanted a son. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:10, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, for you remember she was barren. And not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord. There's the principle we just talked about earlier. What God gave to her, she then turned around and gave back to God. Oh, God, if we could only get that. Come on. Not just with our finances, but with everything. The time you've given me today, God, I'll turn around and give it right back to you. The money, all of it, my talents, my abilities. I'll give it all back to you. And the scripture says that she said, I will give him back to you. He will. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So Hannah recognized that God gave children. God gave people. God gave relationships. So she vowed to be like God and to give her son back to God. You know, we had to realize this when we took Tory to Mississippi. Amen.
Yes.
Some people were telling me, oh, Pastor's going to be rough. You're going to cry. You're going to be busting crocodile tears and all this. And I'm sitting up there. I'm still waiting, looking around. And said, oh, the rain isn't falling yet. I don't know what's happening. But I haven't cried a tear. Maybe it's because when Tori was born, and same thing with Justin, when Dad was upstairs recovering, I was downstairs in the room holding the child. I said, Father, I thank you for what you've given. Now I give them back to you. So they've always, like Hannah did, they've been the Lord from day one. They've never been mine. Amen. They're in the Lord's hands. The scripture says, verse 20 of 1 Samuel 1, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him from the Lord. She recognized that God gave her this child, this relationship. Judges 13:3, speaking of Samuel, it It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you something that will touch your heart. You know, the thing about what God gives you is that what God gives you, your heart wraps itself around. It touches your heart. Now, I came and gave you a car. And 5 years later, I come to your house and find you out the driveway hugging your car. I probably will call the authorities. If I find you talking to your house, writing love notes to your house, I'm definitely going to call the authorities. Because things, you know, God didn't make things to touch your heart. He made people to touch your heart. Right? And what he brings into your life affects your heart when we're talking about relationships, because God gives those. He gives far and above what man could never give, right? For in 2 Kings, I love this passage. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 14, this is the account of when Elisha, a woman had, a well-to-do woman and her husband had, was really taking good care of Elisha. And Elisha wanted to give back something to this woman. And he said to Gehazi, you know, not this woman. Do you want me to speak to the king? What do you want me to do for you? And he says, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son. Now imagine asking someone, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to speak to the president? You want me to speak to a senator for you? And then the servant comes back and says, well, actually, she has no child. And then you're looking at, well, who do you think I am? What type of question? Come at me with that. Well, that's what Gehazi said to Elisha. She has no son and her husband is old. So not only it could be possible that she's barren, but we definitely know the father, that the husband is dead. You know, nothing happened here. So we got a rough situation. But Elisha says, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then Elisha said, about this time next year, you shall embrace your son. Can you imagine that? Oh my God. Look. We're never asking what shall be done for her. It never came up in the woman's mind. Why? Because you would never tell someone what I really want. What I really want. See, God knows what you really want. God knows what you really want that you can't ask anybody here. You can't even bring it up. See, so that never even came up. And Elisha's like, you want me to speak to the king? You know, well, what do you want me to do for you? It never came up. Because only God could do that. And so he prophesied, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. I can speak to the king for you, but God can give you a relationship that your heart will wrap around all the days of your life. Not only all the days of this life, but all the days of the next life. God can give you a relationship that will have no end to it. Hello. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maid. She said, don't do this to me. Look, he put his hand by the Spirit of God. He put his hand on the real desire of her heart. Or what she really wanted. Look, and what she really wanted was not a thing. Because nothing could satisfy. Hannah was going through the same thing. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, why are you grieving, Hannah? Aren't I better to you than 10 sons? I thought to myself, there's a husband who does not, I mean, has foot and mouth disease. Because how do you say to your wife, aren't I better to you than 10 sons? No, you're not, actually. No, Hannah was in the same place, but she was giving vent to it. She was praying. Hannah was praying. This woman, it was such a desire. She was telling no one. Hannah wasn't evil, but at least, you know, Elkanah, her husband, knew she wanted a son. This woman, dead silence. God came through and put his hand upon that which she desired. And what was it? It wasn't a thing. It wasn't a mule. It wasn't a house. It wasn't jewelry. It was a relationship. It was a person. It was a child, a son. So she said, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come. Aren't you glad? Now, You know, God does all these things, and all these things were before Christ because all these point to Christ. Okay? These point to Christ. So we thank God for his bringing of these relationships that pointed to the ultimate relationship, this eternal relationship that my redemption and your redemption would depend on the Son of God, which, you know, in the garden when God was pronouncing the curses, he told the serpent, he said, the seed of this woman whom you have brought into sin and tried to destroy, her seed is going to crush your head. And that seed that God was talking about, that seed was Christ. God didn't say, I'm going to destroy you with things. He says, I'm going to address this with a person. Because I'm going to give a relationship. I'm going to give a person who is going to bring a remedy to the destruction that you have unleashed on these people. Luke chapter 1:13, you know, Luke is talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth. You know, the situation was they were barren. They were well advanced in years. They were past the age of having children. But Zechariah had been praying, and in Luke 1:13, the angel of the Lord shows up while he's in the temple offering incense and says, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. What did God give? God gave them a child. God gave them a person, a relationship. They wanted a son. God wanted a forerunner to his son. Mm-hmm. God accomplished what they wanted, and he accomplished what he wanted. Married the two, mm-hmm. and the will of God was done. So as we go back to Romans 8, where Paul says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So all the aforementioned examples were types that pointed to Christ whom God gave. Right? God did not only give his son, but took his life in order that we might live and with him have access to all things, including eternal things. Because when we read that, we think of when he says all things. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Because we're physical beings, most of the time we think about physical things. But the scripture says all things, to include eternal things. Predominantly those things which Paul had mentioned in prior verses, when he said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things that God allows in this life work together for good, for the good of us who love God. But then he starts talking about the things that God has done, those that he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. Those are not physical things. Those are the things that God has done so that we might be in right relationship with him. So all those things come through Jesus Christ. Every last one. Come through Jesus Christ. Now, that what Moses said, he said, know this, that your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. I was telling Tori the other day, because we talk every day, right? Yeah. And we get on video chats and all this. So her, Daphne, and I are talking, and she asked me, Dad, what you preaching on? And I said, oh, glory. Let me tell you, I've been getting them healed again. I'm getting warmed up. And I said, hey, this is what I'm doing. No, the thought hit me. When you and I need something, we go to the store. But most people, when they need something, they go, but you, when we need, there's some things when we need, we should go to God. In other words, when you need something, you should go to a person, not a place, but a person. And what Moses shared was, your Father already knows what you have need of before you ask him. And so the emphasis is this. When something, run to God. Run to God. Don't run to fulfill it yourself. You know, that's some of the problem of what being rich in this age does for you. When you're rich in this age, you don't have to go to him to get a whole lot of things. Hello? You don't have to run to him. That's some of the reason why Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hello? Because a rich man doesn't think he needs God. But those who have nothing, oh God, the widow who cries out to God, help me, Lord, see, knows that they have need of God. So let me close with this. Jesus offering himself to the rich young ruler. Jesus offering himself to the rich young ruler. So in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 16, the scripture reads, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, listen now, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What good thing? Now let me quote John 17:3 to you. The Gospel of John 17:3. It says, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is not a thing. Eternal life is a person. And this is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ, whom you are sent. Read it yourself in John 17:3. Eternal life is not something that you grasp, for eternal life is something that is given to you by God. Mm-hmm. So the new Christian ruler comes to eternal life. Doesn't know. But he comes to eternal life. And he says, what good thing shall I do? So what we see here is that the rich young ruler is caught up with things. He's caught up with things, not relationship. He's after things, not relationship. And so we're learning a lesson. So what we're not to be caught up with, things. We don't prioritize things over relationship. We do not prioritize things over people. Now, and so the next verse, verse 17. So he, Jesus, said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. So now, we know according to the book of Galatians that the commandments, the law, was our tutor. To do what? To bring us to Christ. So when Jesus said, keep the commandments, the commandments, the Bible says, by the works of the law shall no one be justified. Why? Because no one could keep the law. The law didn't justify you. You know what the law did? It condemned you. You know why? Because when it says, well, let's look at what Jesus said. He said, to keep the commandments, and the rich young ruler says, which ones? So Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18. Now, Jesus mentions all the commandments, the man would call the man focused commandments. How do you treat your neighbor? He didn't mention the first three, the first four. Shall I have no other gods before me? Keep the Sabbath, the Sabbath keep holy. But he mentions those in relationships to how we treat one another. The rich young ruler, the scripture says, thought that he had kept all the commandments. Right? And let me see. So Jesus quoted commandments that had to do with the fellow man. So in verse 20, the scripture says, the young man said to Jesus, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? What do I still lack? Now remember, Jesus had taught earlier that you shall not murder actually means you shall not hate. You should not commit adultery actually means you should not look on a woman to lust after her in your heart. You shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, so forth and so on. And so the rich young ruler thinks, you know, well, I've done all these. What do I still lack? again the ruler's attention. He says all these things. All these things. The ruler's attention is on things he needs to do instead of his relationship with God or God making him right with himself. Verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, if you want to be mature, go and sell what you have. Now here's Jesus putting his finger on the primary issue in the rich young ruler's life. Because the rich young ruler's life, his heart was tied around his possessions. His heart was tied around his possessions. You see, a poor person doesn't wrestle with this because they don't have any possessions. Their heart tied around other things. Don't get me wrong now. Poor person's heart still tied, still bound up. Just not bound up with things such that this rich young ruler is. So Jesus says, go sell what you have or free yourself. Free yourself. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And here's the key. And come follow me. But Jesus said, put out the things. Give away all your things and come to this relationship with me. Jesus was offering him eternal life. Jesus was offering him himself. You see that? So, Jesus instructs the ruler to get rid of the things that were hindering his relationship with God. Jesus himself. This is why Paul told Timothy not to desire to be rich, for riches crowd the heart. You see? Riches crowd the heart that is made for God alone. That's why Paul told Timothy that he who desires to be rich embraces snares and perdition, and it plunges one into destruction. Why? Because the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word so that the word doesn't have place to be fruitful in our lives. So Jesus tells him, sell what you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in earth. In other words, treasure given away here becomes treasure gained in heaven. Let me say that again. Treasure given away here. This is where we're back to talking about giving. How God, we're talking about giving earlier. Listen, when you give here, you're storing up treasure in heaven. And so when we are tight or tight or stingy, who are we affecting?
Ourselves.
We're affecting ourselves. Huh? But guess what? Even knowing that is a proper motivation for us to give right. The proper motivation would simply be the grace of God in our life. The grace of God that overwhelms us, that God has so richly given to us that we freely give to others. And so treasure given away here is treasure gained in heaven. But the crux of what Jesus was saying, that he told him to do that in order that he might free up his heart to be freed up wholly, give himself in relationship to God through Christ. And he says, come and follow me. So Jesus shows us what all of us lack no matter how much we have. And it's simply him. Simply him. The last verse says, but when the young man heard that saying, when the young man heard that saying, it would be no different if Jesus said to him the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because clearly, the rich young ruler's possessions were his God. And he chose that God over the eternal. He chose his possessions over Jesus. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had a lot of stuff. A lot of things. Well, now, the problem with that is this. The one he rejected created all things. The one he rejected could give him anything. Could indeed give him everything. The one you rejected is the one we're talking about in Romans 8, 32. Where it says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So, you don't chase things. You give yourself to God, who freely gives us all things to enjoy. So, do you hear what I'm saying? That when you get Christ, you get everything. But the devil would want to trick us. The devil would want to deceive us and say, no, just leave Christ here and go run after him. Matter of fact, he said it to Jesus himself. He said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms of the earth. He says, I'll give you this glory. Jesus said, no. You worship the Lord your God, whom only shall thou serve. Amen? Amen? So the truth is, if you have Jesus, you have it all. Amen? Let's stand. Amen. Father, we thank you now for your holy word. And we thank you, O God, for your holy inspiration. We thank you for the work of the Holy Ghost in us, O God, transforming us, conforming us into the image of Jesus. Lord, to live like him, to think like him, to speak like him. O God, to move like him. Oh God, Lord, from spirit to spirit, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, we are being transformed as by the very Spirit of God, Father, into the image of Christ our Redeemer. So we thank you, oh God, that the blood atoned for our sin, that the blood, oh God, opened up heaven, Lord, for us to enter in and send the Holy Spirit, that you might live in us and be with us forever, that we might be your children, that we might be as you are, so are we in this world. So, Father, I pray that your word would have free course in our hearts and life to transform us and to change us into the image of Christ. And we give you thanks for it and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you.